KJAN Sports.
It's time for that look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update is brought to you this morning by McAtee Tire and Service Center at 2nd and Poplar in Atlantic. See them for all of your automotive needs. In high school volleyball play around the area last night in Hawkeye 10 conference action, it was Red Oak downing Atlantic 3-1. Shenandoah defeating Atlantic 3-2. It was Red Oak over Shenandoah in 3 straight. Lewis Central took 3 in a row from Glenwood. St. Albert swept 3 from Denison, while Harlan swept 3 in a row from Creston last night. In the corner conference, Sydney defeating Griswold 3-0. Stanton over Essex 3-0. East Mills beat Clarinda 3-0. In Western Iowa Conference tournament semifinal play last night, it was Underwood advancing with a 3-1 win over Trainer, and Logan Magnolia advanced 3-0 over Tri-Center. Also, the Pride of Iowa Conference tournament concluded at East Union High School last night. In the semifinals, Nottoway Valley swept 3 from East Union, and Southwest Valley defeated Lenox 3-0. The third-place match saw Lenox come out a winner 3-1 over East Union. In the championship, Southwest Valley defeating Nottoway Valley in 3 straight games last night. In high school cross-country action last evening, the Pride of Iowa Conference hosting its cross-country conference championships. On the boys' side, Joshua Bowdler of Nottoway Valley was the individual champion. Randy Jimenez of Southeast Warren was the runner-up. Also locally, Toby Bauer of Nottoway Valley placing fourth. Tyler Braheny and Ben Braheny of Nottoway Valley were sixth and seventh, while Doug Berg of Nottoway Valley placing ninth overall. Nottoway Valley won the team title with 27 points. Central Decatur was 74. The runner-up, Mount Air, Bedford, Southeast Warren, the top five teams. On the girls' side, Sophia Brewers of Nottoway Valley was the champion. Gabrielle Valencia of East Union placing second. Nottoway Valley's Reagan Weinheimer was third. Also, Nottoway Valley had a fifth-place finish from Lily Day and a sixth-place finish from Mallory Coons. McKenna Hogan of Lenox placing seventh, and Bedford's Haley Vincent placing 10th in that race last night. Nottoway Valley captured the girls' team title with 24 points. Mount Air with 80 points was second. Central Decatur, Martinsdale St. Mary's, and Southwest Valley, the top five in that conference meet. Well, the Nationals had their first pennant in franchise history, and Washington has its first pennant in 86 years. The Nationals completed a 4-game sweep of the Cardinals in the National League Championship Series last night by erupting for 7 runs off Dakota Hudson and Adam Wainwright in the first inning in a 7-4 victory in Washington. Patrick Corbin and 3 relievers combined on a 5-hitter against the punchless Redbirds, who managed just 16 hits in the entire series. Anthony Rendon put Washington ahead with his 7th RBI of the postseason, a sacrifice fly that scored leadoff hitter Trey Turner. Juan Soto hit an RBI double, and Victor Robles followed with an RBI single before Yan Gomes poked a 2-run single that chased Hudson. Wainwright later served up a 2-run single by Turner to put the Nats ahead by 7. The Redbirds began to chip away at their deficit when Yadier Molina homered in the 4th inning off of Corbin. St. Louis later scored 3 times in the 5th, capped by a 2-run double by Jose Martinez. Corbin left the game after striking out 12 and allowing 4 hits over 5 innings. The Nationals had never won a pennant, even when the franchise was the Montreal Expos from 1969 to 2004. Washington's last pennant winner was the 1933 Senators, who dropped a 5-game World Series with the New York Giants. Washington will host games 3 through 5 of the World Series. They get about 10 days off in between. Well, the Houston Astros now have back-to-back victories since opening the American League Championship Series with a 7-0 loss to the New York Yankees. Gerrit Cole tossed 7 shutout innings, and the Astros homered twice in a 4-1 win over the Yankees in the Bronx yesterday. Cole struck out 7 and worked around 5 walks by holding New York to 4 hits. The right-hander has won his last 19 decisions since allowing 6 runs over 5 innings and a 9-4 loss to the White Sox on May 22nd. Cole is 3-0 with 32 strikeouts and a .4 earned run average in 3 postseason starts. Jose Altuve and Josh Reddick hit solo homers off losing pitcher Luis Severino, who gave up 5 hits over 4 1/3 innings. Altuve opened the scoring 2 batters into the game and provided 2 of the Astros' 7 hits. Reddick added a second inning blast to make it 2-0. Altuve also scored on a wild pitch in the 7th before Yuli Gurriel left it a sacrifice fly later in that inning. Yankees were blanked until red-hot Gleyber Torres homered off of Joe Smith. Torres is 5-for-12 with 2 home runs and 6 RBIs in the series after hitting .417 with a homer, 3 doubles, and 4 RBIs in the division series against the Twins. Game 4 set for tonight in the Bronx. Both managers have said that they'll make it a bullpen day. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says the Hawkeyes are working on trying to fix problems in the offensive line. The Hawkeyes had a total of 71 yards rushing, and quarterback Nate Stanley was sacked 10 times in losses to Michigan and Penn State.
Really doesn't matter what position it is. If we're not quite getting it done, it's always frustrating. We want to do well. But the good news is we've seen our guys play better. So that's what we'll just keep focused on and see if we can't get back up a little bit better.
Farron says they're still searching for the best combinations up front, especially at guard.
You know, we're not playing well enough in the line right now, just not cohesively enough. And, you know, injuries have factored into that certainly. But, you know, we're working to get our best combination in there and get our best football being played up there. So, you know, it's an open door right now, opportunity for any one of the guys to jump up there and practice well this week. And then, you know, we'll base it off what we see this week in practice.
Farron says despite two straight losses, the sky is not falling on the season.
But people that compete can't think like that. It just, it's crazy, you know. I mean, we would have surrendered every war we've been in if we looked at the world that way. You just can't do it. You just keep pushing ahead, keep fighting. With the way the season plays out, it's entirely in our hands. You know, we have control of our destiny, and that's, you know, we're not going to be undefeated. We've proven that. But everything else is out there for us. We got to keep playing, and best thing we can do is worry about Purdue.
Limiting mistakes is a place to start. The Hawkeyes have turned the ball over 6 times in the last 2 games, and Farron says while the defense is playing well, he'd like to see that unit generate some more turnovers. You can hear more from the coach tonight. Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz at 6:30 this evening. Purdue coach Jeff Brohm looks to go 3-0 against Iowa's Kirk Ferentz when the Boilers visit the Hawkeyes. Purdue used a walk-off field goal for a 38-36 win, and 2 years ago in Iowa City posted a 24-15 victory. Brohm says in both games, Purdue was able to grab an early lead.
That is the key against Iowa. You're going to have to find a way to get a lead, make them play a little bit different brand than they want to, because when they can play Iowa football, they have a good chance of winning, and Coach has done a great job there. They're consistent and steady every year.
Brohm says Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley is much better than what he showed in losses to Michigan and Penn State.
Well, he's got great experience. He can stay in the pocket. I think earlier in the season he was playing outstanding and did a very good job, and then they ran into a couple tough contests playing against Michigan and Penn State's defense, and those are two outstanding defenses. Tested him in their offense, but I think he's got great experience, great poise, and he does a great job running their system.
Purdue is 2-4 overall after a 40-14 win over Maryland last week. We'll have that game for you Saturday here on the radio. That's an 11 o'clock kickoff and 9 o'clock pregame. Iowa State coach Matt Campbell says one good game does not guarantee that freshman Breece Hall will be the starting running back on Saturday at Texas Tech. Hall rushed for 132 yards and 3 touchdowns in a win at West Virginia.
Every time you go out there and have success on Saturday, and you earn the right to have success on Saturday because of what you did in practice, you certainly start to put a little bit of, positivity in your bank a little bit, and I think it'll be interesting to watch how he handles that.
Campbell says Hall's biggest strength may be his vision.
It allows him to really accelerate where he's going to go with the ball or feel where that ball needs to go on each and every play, and it's always different for a running back because of what the defense is doing on every play. But I thought he had great vision on Saturday night. I thought he did a great job of sticking his foot in the ground and getting vertical, and I thought those were certainly positives for him.
Well, one NFL executive says the Detroit Lions were unfairly punished by an erroneous penalty during Monday's 23-22 loss to the Packers in Green Bay. Executive Vice President Troy Vincent says the second hands to the face call on Lions defensive end Trey Flowers was incorrect. Flowers was flagged for the same infraction during the second half. Vincent felt the first call was legitimate, but said of the second, when you look at it and review the play, it's not something you want to see called. Flowers had never been whistled for hands-to-the-face fouls in his 5-year NFL career. The second penalty allowed the Packers to continue a game-winning drive that put them near the Detroit goal line before Mason Crosby hit a game-winning field goal as time expired. The Lions led 22-13 with just over 9 minutes left before Green Bay stayed atop the NFC North at 5-1. Jalen Ramsey has been traded by the Jaguars to the Rams in a series of moves by Los Angeles. The Rams acquired the disgruntled cornerback for first-round picks in 2020 and 2021, along with a fourth-round pick in 2021. The 2-time Pro Bowl selection had asked to be traded a month ago. The Rams also traded 2-time Pro Bowl cornerback Marcus Peters to the Ravens for linebacker Kenny Young and an undisclosed pick in the 2020 draft. The Browns have dealt disappointing center Austin Corbett to the Rams for an undisclosed 2021 draft pick. He was viewed as a potential long-term answer at left tackle when the Browns took him with the 33rd pick in last year's NFL draft, but hasn't developed like they had hoped. And in basketball news, LeBron James, standing among basketball fans in Hong Kong, took a hit because of comments the NBA star made about free speech. Fans gathered on courts amid Hong Kong's high-rise buildings Tuesday to vent their anger. When a ball smashed into a photo of James' face, stuck above the hoop, and dropped into the basket, the Hong Kong protesters cheered. They also trampled on jerseys bearing his name, and some gathered in a semicircle to watch one burn. The Lakers forward touched a nerve among protesters for suggesting that free speech can have negative consequences. They've been protesting for months in defense of the same freedom that James said can carry a lot of negative. The protesters chanted support for Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, something of a hero among demonstrators in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory, for having tweeted on October 4th in support of their struggle, infuriating authorities in China. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.